Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 86 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to cover this week's nerd news. In entertainment talk, we're going to go over the announcement of DC's upcoming online event, Fandom. Movie theaters continue to prepare for their openings. And then in tech news, there are a couple of events surrounding cyber attacks this last week and some news regarding aliens and space news. There's a lot of news to get through. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we're back with episode 86 of the Nerd Cantina Show.
Yeah, it's another busy week. Father's Day just happened. Happy Father's Day to all the nerd dads out there. Hopefully you get to do some gaming, some relaxing, whatever it is that you enjoy. Hopefully the kids took a break on you and you got to enjoy the day.
Well, I didn't do any gaming or anything for Father's Day. I did on Father's Day. I watched Knives Out.
What'd you think?
I thought you were maybe a little too critical on it, on that movie. It was entertaining. I didn't think it was a great movie, but it's worth a watch. It's entertaining.
It got Oscar nominated.
Yeah. Like, I know. I guess I don't. What category did it get nominated for? Now I'm trying to remember.
I think screenplay.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, I know there's not a lot of movies like that. These Clue type, murder mystery things. It was like, worth watching. It was definitely worth the watch. I thought you may be a little overly critical.
Mystery movie field that is, lacking competition. I guess it's one of the better ones, but
yeah, I'd say it's the best murder mystery that's come out in 2019. It's probably the only one that came out in 2019, but
they tip their hat in the middle of the movie. So yeah, at the end of the movie, you just know something's coming. You might not be able to put your finger on what was coming, but you knew something was coming. So you're never really on the edge of your seat for anything. The whole I can't lie or I puke shit. Like,
yeah,
No thanks. No thanks. Like, sorry. Like, if you like it, I'm not making fun of anybody. I don't think you're a moron or anything. If you like it, I could see why some people enjoyed it. But for me, like, no, especially because it came from Ryan. Like,
for RJ.
Yeah. Like, fuck him. Fuck that movie.
I found it entertaining, and it was at the right price point. It's free on Amazon Prime now. I go ahead and if you haven't seen it yet, it's there. Free for you to watch if you're a Prime subscriber.
We took the kids to downtown Naperville and went on paddle boats. And boy, did I regret that decision.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because Kristen had to sit in the back with a two-year-old, so she didn't go diving into the lake, so I'm paddling the boat with my six-year-old. So it was a small cardio aerobic workout for me in the middle of a hot ass fucking sun on June. Like, and I'm like, you gonna take any pictures? You gonna document this moment? Nah, it's too hot to take pictures. So there's really nothing documenting this event. It's not like we got like the happy like Father's Day selfie with all the kids. They're like, no. Let's just put dad in the middle of the fucking sun so we can pedal this goddamn water boat around for fucking 20 minutes and sweat his balls off.
The least efficient watercraft that's ever been made.
It's fucking horrible. And then the whole time you're waiting in line and you got to get on the boat, you got to wear the mask and like, it's, I would have way rather just sat on my couch in the air conditioning.
No. That's not what you deserve on Father's Day.
Yeah, well.
All right. Let's get into some news, I guess. And, the first one up on our list is something we don't talk very much about, but it hits us right in our nostalgia feels, and that the Undertaker retiring.
Yeah, we don't do much WWE or wrestling on the show. We have a few articles on the website, and, we did talk about a little bit here and there, but this one. Yeah, I can't remember a time in my life where there wasn't an Undertaker fucking somebody up at some point. Like, and to see him now retiring as I hit 40, it's a little eye opening.
You mean it makes you feel old? It's like once the Undertaker hangs it up, it's
not only do I feel old, but I feel like a giant piece of shit. Like, this dude has been wrecking shop for 35 years, you know? I can't even imagine it. Like, I've been running like a mile a day for, you know, every other day out there, and I'm dying right now, still trying to get back in shape. This dude's still choke slamming people, jumping off top ropes. Like, how?
Oh yeah, no, like, his body's got to be just goo under. Like, there's got to be no structural support left in that massive body of his. All the damage that he's done.
Straight stem cells with Cheerios every morning. straight stem cells. I put sugar on mine. Dude's just sprinkling stem cells all day. Like, it's got to be. You know, but yeah, good for him. He's had a great career. You know, like, he's one of the all-time greats. You know, when you think wrestlers, you know, especially from our generation, there's a handful of them that come to mind, and Undertaker will always be somebody's number one, you know?
Yeah.
If you were emo before emo was a thing, you were an Undertaker fan.
Yeah. Back in our, you know, when we were younger, you know, WWE still had more of that like mystical component of it, and he was that.
Oh yeah,
that
we're like, kids would fight you if you called it fake. Yeah, yeah, like, kids would actually fight you if you and called it fake.
He completely survived the transition of, all right, there's no more mystical stuff. Like, now you're just a big dude who's called the Undertaker.
Well, in a sport where all of our heroes have come out to be meth heads and coke heads and wife beaters and all kinds of just not totally good humans, like, Undertaker's pretty much, you know, rode the ride scandal free. I can't think of, I'm sure he's probably done something wrong. There's got to be some kind of alcohol abuse in there somewhere, but for the most part, you know, he's rode that bike pretty under the radar and just had this like stellar WWE career. You know, I'm sure there's a bunch of wrestling fans out there yelling at the radio right now. But for us, hey man, see you later, Undertaker. Good job. Yeah. Congrats, buddy.
So thanks for the years, Undertaker. And we'll move on from here. And we can talk about a big announcement that took place I think just before our last episode came out, but it is the DC announcing that they're gonna do their own virtual event called the Fandom or Fandome.
It's tough when you're gonna go punny
and like you're gonna try to do puns, and I don't know whether it's really like I don't know what to call it, Fandom or Fandome, but either way,
I just picture a bunch of fat nerds in like Mad Max costumes ready to duke it out over DC. Welcome to the Fandome.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I'm here to see Suicide Squad. Oh god, fucking DC, but man, they never let me down ever.
The Fandome is it's an interesting event that, you know, they're talking about. It's a 24-hour event. Everybody can have access to it. It doesn't really require anything. They've announced that they're going to include, you know, their version of essentially panels with updated announcements for Aquaman, the Batman, Batwoman, Black Adam, you know, Stargirl, Doom Patrol, just everything that's in the DC slate, Shazam, all that stuff's getting their own level of announcements. And then also inside the virtual like platform, when you go to it during those 24 hours, like everybody defaults and goes into the DC Hall of Heroes, and then they have other virtual rooms that you can go to, like the Kids Verse and the Insider Verse and a Fun Verse for games and online gaming throughout the event. And they've actually done a what looks like could be a pretty interesting take on a virtual convention, that it's not just, hey, a bunch of essentially like 24-hour unlocked YouTube videos that you go there and you can watch. They're trying to build some level of interactive capability to where you can virtually walk through different rooms,
but
have
but
different
it is,
content available too.
But it is DC, and I'm kind of like, I just got a feeling this is like the digital event of like a garage sale. You know, when you drive by a garage sale, you look at it and you say, eh, it's probably just filled with a bunch of shit, but let's stop and see if there's anything good in here. That's essentially how I see this going down. Scrolling the internet, like, it's probably just filled with a bunch of trash, but let's see if I could find that one $5 used golf club that I need.
your hatred for DC has no bounds here.
I don't hate them. I just know what to expect.
I think this is actually going to be a good and interesting take on the conventions. We talked about it last year. I look forward to your disappointment.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. We're still going to be talking about it, right? Like, it's an event that's going to happen. It's going to have updates on the Batman. It's going to have updates on some of these major things that we talk about pretty regularly. And what they're doing and experience is something that we talked about last year, and is what is the future of convention stuff. And this was pre-COVID, and I was saying that I think the conventions are dead. I think the only conventions you're going to keep are going to be E3 and San Diego Comic-Con, and then all these other smaller ones or whatever else. It's like, what is the point? And
yeah,
you see,
but
that,
like I said in that section too, for content, you might be releasing new content and announcements online, but for a lot of these actors and a lot of these
yeah, they
writers
want to build their
and
brand
stuff like
out
that,
at these conventions,
how are they going to charge $75 for an autograph picture and a selfie with them? You can't do that digitally.
But the people who are paying for these convention halls and stuff like that aren't. They're not worried about you being able to sell your autograph pictures and stuff like that. I mean, in the end, they're just trying to build up their own PR, to publicize their own things, and doing your own digital event. So like San Diego Comic-Con is doing their own digital convention. And instead of being a part of that, DC is doing their own thing. Because why would you muddy up your announcements on a virtual event that has dozens of other content creators announcing their stuff? No, just create your own day, create your own event.
I don't blame them. I get it.
This makes sense. I think this thing that DC is doing this year is not going to be a COVID exclusive, and they are not going to be the only company that's doing it. We're going to move this direction on these intelligently designed virtual events that are kind of everybody separated by their own days, and you get to control your own PR narrative and kind of timeline of these announcements.
Yeah, so I see why I think they'll be mildly successful, but I don't see cons dying. I see cons changing. I see them downsizing a little bit. I don't know if C2E2 is going to need McCormick Place next year or anything like that. But at the same time, like, it's so hard to tell where the future is going to go with this. You know, like, even once the vaccine comes out, how many people? I think the scars of the COVID fears and everything are going to linger long after the virus does.
Yeah, I do too. And I don't think this is exclusive to the virus. I think the virus is just accelerating, kind of testing these things out. And if they're in any way successful, I foresee it being a new way.
100,000 people at C2E2 say different.
So people still want to go. I agree. It's just whether it's capitalism. It's got to be fully profitable and make sense for the companies to do these things. So I do think, you know, there's still going to be some conventions. I just think these massive scale conventions that have the exclusive, I think there's still going to be physical places that people are going to get together. But the exclusive announcements that take place at these conventions and, you know, holding these panels in the Hall H's and all that stuff, that stuff goes away. And that's going to be controlled through people's own individual events.
All I know is with all this kind of news that cosplayers are on like suicide watch right now. Like, yeah, they got to be dying for you know, like if all you give these people is Halloween, they're distraught. Like, like, call your local cosplayer because they are not well.
I don't know. Is there any question in your mind that Marvel's going to do something similar to this?
No, not a doubt in my mind.
You know what I mean? Like, whether it's going to be rolled up into a, you know, they're canceling a lot of the conventions, you know, again, the Star Wars Galaxies, what is that?
Yeah, the yearly Star Wars Celebration.
Celebration, yeah, yeah. They canceled that. That was supposed to be at Disneyland this year. They canceled that. I'm sure they're looking to still maintain that hype, just move it online.
Well, while we're talking DC and Marvel, one thing I wanted to quickly go over, we didn't have an actual article to link, but it was something that we both read, is how another war between DC and Marvel is probably going to start because of DC leaving Diamond Distributors. So for those that don't know, Diamond Distributors are the ones that are the comic providers. They're the ones who do all the printing of the comics, shipping and handle all the distribution. With COVID happening, things kind of like fell through. Diamond was hurting. DC wanted to push out comics. Diamond didn't really respond well to it. So DC said that they're dropping Diamond Distributors and are going to distribute comics themselves. So the war that the article mentioned is due to the fact that now Marvel could be left without a distributor, because if Diamond can't stay afloat just on Marvel's distribution and they go out of business, then Marvel essentially has no way to distribute their comics whatsoever, and they'll have to find another party, do it themselves. Either way, it causes this DC's decision is causing all kinds of logistical issues with Marvel, and they said this might be a new comic war starting between the two.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it turning into a comic war, but I also think that whether it's Diamond Distributors is going to figure out a way to make this work, or somebody else is going to step up with close to no actual delay or lag for Marvel. There's money to be made still. It's not a significantly profitable industry anymore in the physical comics space, but there's still money to be made, especially on the publishing side.
Somebody's got some sheets of paper behind me worth some money.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's an interesting kind of like thing that's another COVID fallout, you know. And if the two companies weren't at odds enough before, here's just one more problem to stack on top of it.
Well, I guess we can move over to some movie news, and really it's just a reminder that movies theaters are still planning on opening up. AMC sending out their emails to all of their AMC subscribers, Regal Cinema sending out emails, whatever else, letting everybody know that they're still on track to open up July 10th. They're not
going broke.
And they're like, not. Yeah, AMC specifically put in their email that they've raised $1 billion in funding and they're not going broke. They're here to stay. They're going to do. They're ready for this opening. AMC even initially came out and announced that, said, hey, like, we will at no point require people to wear masks in our theaters. That is not a thing. We're not going to violate your liberties. You don't have to wear a mask on your face. That lasted for about 24 hours.
Then out came the Karens.
Yeah, that lasted for about 24 hours. And then...
Well, and like everybody that is going to go to a theater has already said, the minute I sit down in my seat, I'm taking my mask off. Like, you want me to wear a mask when I'm getting my concessions and shit? That's fine. Go to the bathroom. That's fine. But the minute I sit in my seat, like, that thing's coming to fuck off. Like, there's no way you're getting me to wear it. So, like,
how you gonna eat your popcorn if your face is covered?
Exactly. Like, so the people that, you know, AMC changes stance on masks due to backlash, and it's like, yeah, but the backlash wasn't for people that were going to go to this fucking movie anyways.
Right.
Like, the backlash is coming from people that are too afraid to do anything in public, and they're not going to go to the theater. So, once again, fucking Karen ruins shit for people, you know, for everybody that she has nothing to do with. You know, if, like, people like me who are going to go see a movie a week, once a week, were like, you know, I don't really feel comfortable not wearing masks and da-da-da-da. Okay, then you change the policy. Because, you know... The bitch with Live, Laugh, Love that only goes sees the, you know, a rom-com once every fucking two, you know, a year. And like, she complains that now we change our policy. Like, I just hate that whole mindset.
She wants to go take the kids to see Mulan. And Mulan is still the first major movie set to release. And so, yeah, gotta protect that Disney audience there.
No, racist ass Karen's too afraid of the Kung Flu to fucking take herself to see a Chinese made fucking historical movie. I'll tell you that right now. Ah, fuck that
hold
lady.
Hold on. When do we make Karen's racist? This is. Sorry, Karen's. I don't think you're racist.
I'm sure there's a big handful of them in there.
Oh, yeah, 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 there's some of them. There's definitely.
There's definitely a big handful of them in there. There's
definitely a racist Karen somewhere out there. But
I don't think being a Karen is like the end all be, like the, you know, for sure you are. But if you're Karen, yeah, you know, like it's a coin flip. Like it's coin flip, probably.
Well, you know, moving into the theaters, we still see Tenet is still grasping at this end of July release, July 31st, and it's come out with a bunch of different articles, people talking about how really Warner Media, they wanted to push this thing back. They wanted to push it back to a Christmas release, to somewhere else where it could make $1 billion, because it's hard to imagine a movie's going to make $1 billion in those first couple weeks when people are still very hesitant to go out. And it's reported that Christopher Nolan, like them making this movie still available in July, is just them appeasing Christopher Nolan and saying like he really wanted to be kind of the savior of the theater industry. He really wanted, he believes in the theaters. He's a huge proponent of like, you need the biggest screens possible. My movies are epic and they need to be on IMAX. They need to be grandly displayed. And he is somebody who has talked about the importance of theaters to American society. And he has said that, profits be damned, I want my movie to be the one that saves the theater industry, that brings it back to life.
Preach, Nolan. Fucking preach. Like, and I'm proud of him for having this stance. I'm proud of him for sticking up for people that want to go to movies still. Like, it's, he has a point. Like I said before, when we were talking about the theaters closing and streaming and stuff, if you don't see that T-Rex on a big screen for Jurassic Park, are you really moved by that movie? Does that movie become a cult phenomenon? You know, if you don't see, like for Nolan, if in Dark Knight Rises, you know, or The Dark Knight, you don't see that truck flip end over end in the middle of a Chicago downtown on a big screen, you just see it at your house, is it really that epic? Do you really get the feel for it? And I don't believe you do. You know, and I got a big fucking TV.
Yeah, I mean, there's truth to like the way Christopher Nolan does things. Even I think the theaters as they open, it's the 10-year anniversary of Inception. So AMC is showing Inception as a one of their parts of opening is the 10-year anniversary. And it's, yeah, Inception is a phenomenal concept and great movie. And then the visuals of it are still stunning. Like it's a movie that stands up on its own, did not necessarily need such a great visuals. But in the end, Christopher Nolan, yeah, he nails it with these things. I think it's great. And I think Warner Media, this is probably a very still capitalist decision, because somewhere along the way, if you piss off Christopher Nolan, he's just not doing your next three movies for you.
Yeah, and that's so what like, okay, that's what their
we'll
fear
just,
was.
We'll just take a slight L on this one. We'll still be profitable. We're just not going to be $1 billion release profitable. But Christopher Nolan will stick around with us for the next two or three movies that he's planning.
I still think it's going to make a lot of money, just not as fast as a movie like this typically does. It's going to be the only movie out. And if it's as good as he thinks it is, and it's as good as it's been hyped, people will eventually go see it. Like, you may not rush to it, but if you go to the theater and realize, like, hey, it's like fucking 3 o'clock on a Tuesday and I got some time, like, there's probably only four people in the theater, I'm COVID free, and you might go. Like, no, you're not going to have the pack Fridays and stuff like this. But I think with the buzz around this movie and how shitty people are on the internet about spoiling movies, I think in a month you get what you would get in the opening week. You know, and as time goes by, I think it'll eventually catch up. Like I said, I hope that they do social distancing in the theaters, but they just, the day Tenet comes out, there's not another movie in the entire theater. All 12 theaters are running Tenet. All, you know,
so
like,
Mulan's beaten them by a week, right? So Mulan's actually going to be the first major release that comes out. And I think there's still a good chance that Disney pushes that back. I would actually be surprised if Mulan keeps that date of July 17th, I think it is. If they don't, It sucks for Christopher Nolan. He's not going to be the one to save the theaters. The first release to come out, Disney's going to get all the credit.
Yeah, I still like you said, Mulan could still get pushed, especially with what's going on in China. Because if China has an uptick in COVID and they don't get to release it in China,
yeah, they're shutting it down again.
They'll probably shut it down again because that's a huge profit driver for Disney. So. You know, but like you said, I don't think Nolan gives a fuck. I think he just wants his movie out there, and he wants people in the theaters again. And good for him for being the one that stand up for guys like me.
All right, well, I think that takes us through everything we had planned for entertainment talk here, and we can just move over into tech news. And really, every bit of tech news that kind of hit our radar that we were focused on this week falls in this realm of cyber attacks.
Of shitty people.
Yeah, well, first one, I guess really isn't shitty people. The first one was the T-Mobile cellular outage that took place. And it took place, you know, people couldn't make phone calls, hundreds of thousands of people didn't have access to their networks, couldn't make phone calls on their anonymous or somebody within the anonymous monikers on Twitter claimed that our cellular infrastructure was under a massive DDoS attack. And for a day or two, that's what was getting picked up by all the news media outlets, that we were exposed with some vulnerabilities with our cellular networks and DDoS attacks. And then later it kind of came out that it wasn't a DDoS attack. It was really just bad configurations on T-Mobile's part. It was more of a whoopsie, and network went down.
That was anonymous, taking like a page out of the Al Qaeda book. Just like anything blows up around the world, just take credit. You know, like oh, there's a car that blew up over here. That was us. That was us. Oh, it wasn't us. Yeah, no, you're right. It wasn't us. It's all right.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's what it looks like. And anonymous, I think, didn't necessarily claim it. They just stated that the U.S. was under a major DDoS attack, not necessarily that they were committing a major DDoS attack. And in the end, it appears that T-Mobile has claimed that it was a configuration issue that was causing the network to fail.
Like there's still badly. Some old lady with a headset on changing wires in a fucking booth somewhere. You know, like the fuck. This is like configuration. Like this shit just runs all day, every day for eternity. And now all of a sudden, like someone hit a wrong button somewhere and fucked up the whole fucking thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't get how that works.
And apparently it got blown up because like the websites that track outages and stuff like that, they were tracking outages on like Verizon and other networks and stating that it was this major thing. But I think it later came out that the T-Mobile network issue was causing people to think that they were having problems with Verizon, but it was because they were connecting to T-Mobile devices or trying to call T-Mobile devices and then reporting their own outages. And then Verizon caught it, other services then caught it and started claiming outages. And then it kind of just blew up beyond the point that it was. But we get Ajit Pai from the FCC coming out and saying that, you know, this is completely unacceptable behavior, that cell phones are critical infrastructure and they need to do a better job. I agree. Like FCC should care about these things. You should not kind of let millions of people lose critical coverage for cell phones, because who the hell has anything but a cell phone nowadays? If you still have a landline and you're listening to this podcast, you gotta go check yourself.
Yeah, but it's also one of those things that, like, you know, I'm sure for a lot of people it was a major inconvenience, but there is a large portion of people out there like, oh, I got no phone for a day, and just took like a deep breath and went about their life like it was 1985 and was completely happy that
most people probably didn't even notice, right? Most people just turned on the Wi-Fi on their phone, because who the hell makes a phone call? It is, if somebody actually calls me on the phone, it's upsetting.
Yeah, like you hear people when they talk about, you know, I took a vacation and I left my cell phone in my hotel room the entire time, and it was one of the greatest things I've ever done. It's like it was just a forced mitigation kind of thing. Like you just the phone's down, just put it in your pocket, go about your life, it'll be back soon. Just look at the sky, smell a flower, do something with your life.
Just do it after you listen to this podcast on your podcast player of choice. But yeah, in the end, that ended up not being a big issue. But we also then last week get where Amazon stated that AWS, the Amazon Web Services, had thwarted the largest DDoS attack in human history. They were talking about stopping 2.3 terabytes per second attack that took place back in February.
What is the benefit of doing a DDoS attack? Like, if you were the one organizing this thing, like, what do you get out of it, man? Like,
anarchy.
you really feel good about like these are like the worst of our society. Like, these are the worst people. You know, they're the same people that do DDoS attacks on the PlayStation and Xbox network on Christmas Day, so the 10-year-old that just opened his first game system can't even fucking hook it up because it can't download the first fucking update to actually get up and running. Like, you are a special kind of fucking piece of shit. Like, if you do this stuff, I just don't I don't get, like we have, four stories on DDoS attacks this week. Like,
yeah.
What kind of fucking assholes are you? Like, you could be doing so many more constructive things with your time, and you could be taking down things that actually fucking matter. But instead, no, I'm going to devote all my brain power and computer power to fucking up people's days. Like,
yeah, and I mean, so apparently AWS was able to mitigate this and stop it. So, you know, maybe these DDoS attacks need to be limited to specific websites and specific. You're not going to crash Amazon web services. Like, you're not going to crash all of the sites that route through and use AWS cloud computing. So either got to step up your game or just move on to the smaller networks and go after somebody else. It doesn't make more sense.
Like, doing a DDoS on Amazon, you could say is for the good of the people. Like, look, we wanted to shut down Amazon for a day so that if people needed something, they had to go out to brick and mortar and actually shop at local small businesses. I could see that as a thing, you know, but all these stories are just assholes being assholes. Like, they're the same fucking piece of shit kids that used to like throw rocks off overpasses. You know, like, you're that fucking kind of piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree, but I think it's impressive. There's so many, it's not just Amazon. If AWS has an issue, so many websites, I think it's most of web traffic goes through AWS servers. So
yeah, there's only three. I think Google's got the big one. Amazon's got the big one, and Microsoft.
Yeah. So the fact that AWS was able to mitigate this is a pretty good task. Like, that's what they're supposed to do.
Jeff Bezos, not today, motherfucker. Not today. You ain't fucking with his monies, man. He's gonna get them cents.
We have one more.
Yeah, Australia cyber says attack. It was getting the Russian bots.
Yeah, so it's more. Australia has been reporting it, and they're stating this week that they claim that China was a chief suspect in various cyber attacks going against them. Just more of these sophisticated state sponsored state. Based cyber attacks that are taking place into Australia, as we've talked about, we know is taking place here and continues to take place here, and every other kind of developed Western type nation it has been reporting, and Australia has been pretty bold at claiming that and attributing it to the Chinese government.
Yeah, I don't know what benefit China has to fucking with Australia. I mean, they are very in very close proximity, so it might just be the closest got person to fuck with. I trying to fuck with them Aussies. I'm telling you right now, I ain't trying to fuck with them Aussies.
In Australia and China, they do have a pretty adversarial relationship. And it's like, generally, if I want to know something to find out what's going on with China and some of these crazy stuff, it's some of the best documentaries or best news coverage I've seen on China things is like the 60 Minutes version of Australia that you can find on YouTube. And they do very in-depth study,
Well, because China keeps building islands that they claim are, you know, and they keep encroaching on the sea space on Australia to where, yeah, some of these shipping lanes now are very narrow. And, like, I could see it. I just, man, like, we had a big worry about murder hornets here. Like, if I was China, I'd be worried about them dropping crates of scorpions and all kind of, like we were about chemical warfare and stuff like this. Like, they got things on that island that you do not want invading your ecosystem.
Ecosystem warfare.
But then again, you know, my ignorant ass, whatever lands on that fucking, on that country, they're just going to put it in a shop, cook it, and eat it. Like, you drop crates of scorpions on China. They just look at it as high protein. Like, they're not giving no fucks.
Well, and then I guess we can move over to another hacking news. This one just being way more entertaining to me.
This is entertaining.
Wired Magazine put up an article about how dating apps were exposed for 845 gigabytes of explicit photos and private messages and chats. And, you know, the headline in itself is like, oh, damn, there's a bunch of dick pics and nudes floating around. Like, who's doing that within their dating service?
I follow that. I think it's either a Facebook page or an Instagram page, that Tinder Nightmares.
Oh, God.
And it's just people screenshotting their Tinder messages and putting them on Instagram and stuff. Oh. Like, yeah, this is...
My God.
This is great. I just have, like, this weird vision in my head that there is some, like, just evil dude working on a 20-year plan, creating, like, the biggest cache of dick pics that he's gonna unload on the world one day. And, you know, we're gonna wake up one morning and it's gonna be like, every penis in the world is now on file on this website. All you have to do is type in a name and search, and there is his penis.
I'm just waiting for, like, the person who's doing it is some guy that one day we're gonna walk into some modern art museum and there's gonna be a mural just the modern Mona Lisa of nothing, but when you look closely, it's a mural of everybody's dicks in the country, just dick pics everywhere. That's the best use of a collection of dick pics.
Honestly, I would go to that exhibit if it was just like, if it was all famous dicks made up of dick pics. So it's like a picture of Richard Nixon, a picture of Dick Clark, you know, and it's just all. Can you just walk through this whole gallery of dicks made of dicks? You got my $5. Any of our Nerd Cantina artist friends out there, get on it.
Yeah, get on it.
there's a cache of penises out there somewhere on the dark web.
Yeah. But in case you're hearing about this for the first time and you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to go ahead and just inform you that if you have an account with any of these services, you might want to tell your significant others. You might want to tell somebody tell grandma to watch out. There might be some weird pictures, but
no, there's going to be a lot of angry spouses and just shoulder shrug replies. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
These dating apps are out of control though. You know, I haven't had to worry about dating in a long time, but the ones that were affected were, there was a dating app called Threesomes, Cougary, Gay Daddy Bear, X-Pal, BBW Dating, Casual X, Sugar D, Herpes Dating. Which I'm assuming is where people who are openly admitting that they have herpes can go.
I don't know what the fuck else you're supposed to assume. I don't think it's people looking for herpes. You know, I want to try to give this herpes a try.
Like, the fact that, like, yes, the 845 gigabytes of explicit pictures were out there. I was way more surprised reading this article that these are real dating sites, apps that exist.
Man, like, Mingle makes sense, you know, like JDate makes sense. Like these are some really niche
Gay Daddy Bear, Herpes Dating, Yeah, this is great.
Herpes dating. Oh my God. I can't believe that's a thing. I mean, it makes total sense. There was some dude, some app developer that got herpes and was like, I'm never going to get laid again. Unless.
The best part is, I mean, people are making money on all these things, and it gives me hope that apparently there's still plenty of ideas, money making ideas out there.
How do you tell your friends how you met your lady? how do you tell that story at the restaurant now? how do you go about that part of your life? You know, your kids ask you one day, how'd you meet mommy? Well, daddy had a burning sensation and was looking for other mommies with burning sensations.
it's great. But if you have an account on any, there's no judgment here.
No judgment.
I'm not judging you. If you've got an account on any of those things, though, you might want to check the database.
I'm willing to bet I have two friends on the BBW one. I'm willing to bet for sure.
and you might want to stop sending explicit pictures through the private messaging apps or private messaging on these dating sites.
I've come to terms that at some point in the future, by the time I'm an 80-year-old man, there will be a large number of the general public that have probably seen my penis through mishaps. Like, I've just accepted that as part of life now. If you've ever taken the pic, just know it's out there forever. And at one point, as AI gets really, really smarter, people are going to see it, man. Just come to terms with it. Just accept it now. Wear it proudly.
Yeah. Once face recognition becomes so mundane, we're
face recognition. I'm worried about the other recognition.
That's what I'm saying. Once face recognition becomes so mundane that it's just out there, we're going to start recognizing people by other appendages. Just why not? Why not get algorithmic learning, machine learning on this? All right.
All right. We had our fun.
Yeah, I guess we can move over. All right. And then, we can move over to really the last segment here. That's a little bit of space news. And it was picked up by like every news source this week. It was some British scientists, astronomers came out. I think it was a pair of them that came out with a peer-reviewed journal that there are at least 36 intelligent alien civilizations in our galaxy. And it really got picked up because there's 36. Like, it's such a definitive number that scientists must really know what they're talking about now. And they must have really found this.
It's not 37. They said 36.
Yeah. They said 36. Very specific. In the end, it's more gibberish. Nonsense. Yeah, it's two scientists using the same models that other scientists have used, essentially to say that there are no aliens.
There are no known
in the universe.
Intelligent things, but if we had to put it a guess as to how many there could be,
these same data inputs have been put into other models that have come back and said there are hundreds of thousands of alien species or intelligent life within the galaxy. So this makes a bunch of assumptions, obviously, in order to get to here. It also like makes some like really weird assumptions within there that like they talk about they estimate 36 ongoing intelligent civilizations that have not only obviously a habitable place to become, but they have the intelligent capability, and that they would at some point develop like radio communication and radio frequencies, and then like made an assumption that radio communication would only be relevant in alien life for like 100 years. So you would only be able to detect them for about 100 years, and think like, hold on a second, like, why would you make that assumption when we have been using radio technology for more than 100 years ourselves? So why would you assume that it's just there's weird findings that take place in this one? So I
think there's just a bunch of astronomers and scientists out there that like the fact that we can't find one other species right now is like the bane of their existence. You know, like they just believe so wholeheartedly that there are other intelligent life forms out there, and they're just so mad that they can't find them that like they just you run into that wall so many times, you just pull a couple of these out of your ass from time to time. You know, the math says it is. I'm telling you, the math, it's impossible that there's not, you know. And like, I truly believe that there's other intelligent life out there, but I also would not be shocked if we were the only thing floating around this big fucking empty galaxy that is smart enough to, you know, like, it wouldn't shock me either that if Earth was the only thing with life on it. Like, neither one would surprise me.
I don't know. I still think it would shock me if there was no other life. It would actually shock me if there was other intelligent life and they're this obsessed about reaching out to other people. I think really truly intelligent life would just take care of the planet that they're on, and they would just live a good, comfortable, happy life and not be so damn concerned about everything else.
Well, I mean, there's also, if we could, like, you can never definitively prove, but if we came to consensus that, like, yeah, we're probably the only intelligent beings out in the universe, and, you know, this is the only planet that was capable of growing life. Like, maybe people would take a step back and realize, like, how special life really is, and kind of reevaluate what they value and how they go about their day and how they treat people, and like the lottery of events that had to happen to get us to be sitting here recording a podcast is staggering. And there's something beautiful about that and special about that. And the fact that everybody else is like hoping that this phenomenon called life isn't not just like exclusive, but isn't like common. Like, I don't know. I think it takes something away from the human experience sometimes.
I don't know. That is way more hopeful than I was ever expecting from you. that's way more philosophical and hopeful than I expect of you. Normally, I would expect you to go the route of being like, you know, if the random phenomenon that it made us exist isn't good enough to, like, that shouldn't be good enough to regulate people, because really, we still had shitty people when we thought it was divine intervention that just put us there to be great people, otherwise we're going to burn in hell. That's not good enough. So why would the random chance that put us together on Earth, like, all of a sudden give us this better understanding of meaning? It would not. I am less hopeful.
So like you see those big things on YouTube where, like, you know, the guy rolls the marble and hits the dominoes and then the bowling ball things and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's what happened to get us here on Earth. It was like Big Bang, marble, pendulum, bowling ball, cup, golf ball, humans. Like, and you should be like, if you watch those videos and are in awe of the series of events that it took for that dude's toaster to pop or whatever the fuck the video is, then you should be blown the fuck away at our sheer existence. Like seriously, I truly believe that, you know, just the fact that we are here, like, evolutionary science is one of my favorite subjects to listen to on podcasts, because the hundred thousands of years of process just from the dawn of humans to where we are at right now is fascinating to me. You know, I have two kids under the age of six. Like, my 2-year-old is worthless. She's a total drain on our family when it comes to survival. Like, how we survived as a species carrying this dead weight on our backs, fighting tigers and bears and all kinds of shit blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like, so if we are the only ones out here, I don't see that as a disappointment. It just highlights the beauty of the human experience and how fortunate we should all take our lives, and maybe you should put that in some perspective and not call the cops on the barbecue next to you, man.
I'm gonna put it in a different perspective and say, if you recognize all of this crazy chance that took place and the marbles and the bowling balls and everything else to get us here, then you also then recognize how insignificant you are in the grand scheme of things. So YOLO. Fuck it.
Send that dick pic.
You be heavy. What you do has no fucking purpose.
send that shit.
You just do you. Be happy. Fuck everything else.
Because life is pointless. That's it. I'm signing up on herpes right. meat tomorrow.
Oh, all Jesus. Right. Well, with that said.
promo, Cantina, Facebook group, sign up.
Likes, shares, reviews. We appreciate God. It all. I think that's it.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Today was a fun one. I laughed a little bit more than usual.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening to episode 86. And until next week, see you, nerds.
See ya.